We may be here a long time. I'm going to talk today about faith. And so I want you to put your mind on that, put your mind on faith, and go with that for about the next 45 minutes. Just be ready. Well, hour and a half. We'll make it there. We'll make it there. I have a question for you. Do you walk in faith? You say yes, but do you?
Do you? Yeah. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's up. Sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's not as much as others. But I want you to know this, that at my age, I still grow in faith almost on a daily basis. And I want you to know, over the last 2 years, I have grown dramatically in my faith. And even though I'm older, but not old enough to get the senior discount at Freddy's Pizza, I want you to know that we can grow in faith daily, day by day. Amen. Continuing to grow, always continuing to grow in faith, knowledge, wisdom. We can walk in faith and not walk in the world. Rick was talking about that this morning, about how we are not part of this world, but we are apart from it. We are part of the kingdom of God, not of this world. Because God's kingdom is not of this world. God's kingdom is everlasting. This world will not be. And so we put our faith in what is everlasting. Do not put your faith in governments. They are not everlasting. They will cease to exist. No matter what government that you come from, no matter where you are, governments will fail. Do not put your faith in people, because people will let you down. Just realize that that's the way it is. Even though you may put all your faith in your spouse and all these things, but you know what? Sometimes your spouse will let you down. You'll get angry with your spouse. Or in my case, my spouse gets angry with me. I don't get angry with her. Oh yeah, she's there. No, never, yeah, don't lie, yeah. You're a Christian, don't lie. Yeah. You can't put two people in the room together for any length of time and expect them not to get angry sooner or later. Because it's going to happen. But realize this. Jesus Christ is always with us. Always. Lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. That's where your faith must be. That's where it must rely upon. Because we don't have it anywhere else. That we have someone that we can talk to, that we have someone that we can go to in our time of need, that we have someone that we can pray to and ask for help. To seek forgiveness. Nowhere else in this world do we have that. Because Jesus is not of this world. And therefore, nothing within this world can compare to the gift that we have from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now I want to start out today in Matthew chapter 8. Verses 5 through 10. It says these words. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, terribly tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Now, I understand why he said that. Because the Jews would not have anything to do with anybody that was not a Jew. And it was an abomination to the Jewish people to go under the roof of somebody that was not a Jew. And this centurion was definitely not a Jew. He was a Roman. And so he says, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now notice Jesus' response in verse 10. Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who were following. Now who were following? His disciples. All Jews. Said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. What kind of faith did the centurion show? Great faith. But realize what he said. He said, no, Lord, all you have to do is just speak the word and he will be healed. What great faith is that? Think about some other situations. Some other situations in the scripture. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. Do you realize that she showed great faith? Because she said to herself, all I have to do is but touch his garment and I will be healed. And so what does she do? She breaks through the crowd, she crawls through the crowd, and she touches his garment and she is immediately healed. What great faith did that happen or did that take from that woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years? What about the man whose child had epileptic seizures? Remember that individual. Because that individual had been to the apostles, had been to all these different people, trying to get someone to help him, and no one could help him. So he goes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, you know, I've been to all these other people. If you are willing, will you help me? And Jesus responds to him and says, if I am willing. And he says, yes. Because I've been to your apostles, I've been to all these other people, and yet they were unable to help me. And then Jesus asked him, he said, well, do you believe that I can help you? And remember his response. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Now, do you think for 1 second that man's faith did not grow drastically after his son was helped? When Jesus healed his son, do you not think for 1 second that his response was, his faith grew? He knew that Jesus could help, but he doubted. Folks, there are times in our life when we are the same way. We know that Jesus can help, but we doubt. And I'm going to tell you something about people in the United States. Because people in the United States have a different attitude about things than people in other countries. Can't imagine that, can you? We do. Because we grew up believing that we can do it all ourselves. Where people in other countries, they sit back and they say, you know, I can do a lot, but there's a lot of things I can't do. I'm going to have to get some help. Where I see people at their lowest end, and those of you who have done work in our jails around the area have seen this, when people are at their lowest end, they realize that I can't do this by myself. I need some help. And that's why we have such a great jail ministry right here among this congregation, because we have those people who have hit the bottom and they realize they can't do it by themselves. But we have this attitude that we need to do it all ourselves. We don't really need anybody. We don't need God because we can do it ourselves. No, you can't. And a lot of times it's not until you hit the bottom that you understand that you can't do it by yourself. Now, one of the things that's really interesting is that in the Scripture, sometimes it gives you a very firm definition for exactly what you're looking at. Faith is one of those times. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the Hall of Fame chapter of faith, that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it gives you a great definition of faith, of exactly what faith is. If you haven't read this, you need to read it right now. Because it says this. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Realize exactly what it's saying there. And I brought this up before and I've told you this. I understand there's two words in there. The one word I've got underlined in blue. The other word I don't have underlined in blue, but it's certainty. Without a doubt, I know this to be true. Now, repeat after me. I know that my Redeemer lives. Did you know that's faith right there? If you say, well, I think that my Redeemer lives, guess what? That's not faith. Faith is knowing. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that I have a place in heaven. I know that He hears my voice when I raise it to God in prayer. Amen. I know that He died for me. I know that He paid my debt for sin. There is no question, because faith is knowing. Sing it with me. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life He gives from sin and sorrow freed. Sing it out. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know. No other religion in the world can say the same. No other religion in the world can sing that song. Because all their redeemers died and were buried. We serve a resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. He lives today. And I know He lives. Without any doubt in my mind, I know that Jesus Christ lives. I know he went to the cross. I know he paid my debt for sin. And I know I have a place with him in eternity. This is faith. Knowing. But I want you to see something, and this we've talked about multiple times. Faith requires action. Remember the demons believe. Don't forget that. Demons believe. They know that God exists. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, if you read the scripture when it talks about the man who had the legion of demons, they came running out of the cave and they knew exactly who Jesus was before the apostles knew who Jesus was. There was no doubt in their mind who they were facing. They knew. But they also know where they're going. Do we know where we're going? Folks, here's the thing. Faith requires action. Without works, faith does not exist. Without works, you are no better than the demons. Because you can believe that God exists. You can believe even that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if you have not moved upon your faith, then you're no better than the demons. Because they believe those things also. So anyone who teaches belief only or faith only, they're missing the boat. Because belief and faith are two different things. Belief does not require action. Faith requires action. And so therefore, if you look at faith specifically, faith will change your life. How does it make a difference in your life? Your life. Well, I have a few points that I want to bring out for you today of how faith should be making a difference in your life right now. First off, I want you to look at this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says these things. And do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Faith should be transforming your mind to where you are thinking differently than you were before. We're not the same person we were. If you are, then when you got baptized, you just got wet. Because there's a change in your life. Faith has entered. Action follows faith. They go together. And so realize that first and foremost, our minds, our thought processes should be different. You should think more about God. You should think more about Jesus Christ. You should be thinking more each and every day about the Word of God. And you should be picking it up and reading it. Because faith changes your thought processes. When people come and ask you to do things that you know to be right, my brain says, nope. Ain't going to do it. I'm going to do this instead. Faith causes you to change the way you think about things, the way you think about others. Faith causes you to change. And those of you who have been baptized recently, who should join that class 101, by the way, if you've been baptized recently, you know that faith has changed you.
Amen.
And folks, I see it every day, but I'm being personal here. I see it in my own life. I am far more faithful today than I was 5 years ago. 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I can even bring it even closer to 2 years ago, 1 year ago, yesterday. Because our faith should be growing stronger each and every day. Our thoughts should be more and more and more on God and His will. Not our will, but let His will be done. Secondly, look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. There's a difference in our speech when faith comes into your life. You talk more about the things that God has done for you. I've heard people tell me, say, well, you know, I really can't talk to anybody about God because I don't know enough Scripture. I say, well, talk about this. Tell somebody what God has done for you.
Amen.
We used to do a testimonial. Ever heard of those? Where they'd go around the room and we did it in youth groups, and they'd go around the room and they'd say, tell me what God has done for you. Make it personal. Tell me one thing that God has done for you. And if you can't think of anything at all, realize this. God sent His Son to die for you. Make it personal. Realize that our speech changes. The way we talk to each other changes. We don't use foul language anymore. We stay away from those things. But rather we build each other up, we edify one another, we help each other along the way. Because folks, in this world today, we need some help. We need God's help. We need one another's help. And that's why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, and all the more, even as you see that day approaching. What day are we talking about? Jesus coming back. Come back together. Why? Because we need to be built up. You know where I'm built up the most? Right here. Right here. Y'all are so kind. Incredibly kind. And I thank you for that. But I want you to know something. I see God in you. And therefore I am drawn to you because I see God working through you. I've seen great growth within this congregation, not in numbers, but in spirit, in truth, in knowledge, just in the short time that I've been here, and I've been so thankful for it. How wonderful it is to come together and worship our Lord and Savior. Differences in our speech. Look at this one in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says this, Submit therefore to God, but resist the devil. And what will happen to the devil? He will flee from you. You know why we cannot be overtaken by the devil? Because if we resist him, he will flee from us. But if we allow him in, we can be overtaken by those things. So this is what I'm going to tell you. If you have faith, you face temptation differently. Do you realize how much faith it takes to strive against temptation? Especially our young people. Do you realize how much faith it takes when all of their friends at school are saying, let's go to this party, let's go do these things, and then you stand up and say, no, I don't think I need to go. Y'all remember Ronald Reagan and his battle against drugs, and he just said what? Did he say, just say what? Just say no. You realize how hard it is just to say no? Yes. Folks, I can promise you, it's incredibly difficult to say no. I graduated from Fort Smith Southside High School. There were 487 students in my graduating class. I knew of five that did not do drugs. Five. You realize how hard it is to say no when you're 1% of the class? Five. I knew fewer than that that didn't drink. Now, I'm not saying there weren't more, but what I'm saying is this. I only knew of those few. And what happens is, and what happened to me personally, was that they quit inviting. They quit coming to me and saying, hey, would you come with us? You know, be a part of us. Come with us. And when you tell them no so many times, they just quit inviting. They quit. You don't think that's hard on a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid? It's not too hard for me now. Because I'm older now and I don't care. I will not. And I don't mind telling them. But back then it was hard. Because you want to be accepted. You want to be a part. You want to join into the fun, which turns out not to be fun at all. But realize how much faith it takes to say no. And those of you in this audience who have been there and know what I'm talking about will attest to that openly. And they will say, yep, because I went through that. How hard it is. Folks, to say no takes a great deal of faith. But that's the action. No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I trust in God. No. James chapter 1 verse 2 says this. Consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Faith puts you in a position to where your actions are different. When one of our loved ones pass away, and many of you in this audience have had that happen just recently, when one of our loved ones has passed away, realize this. When they have the hope of eternal salvation, I can find joy in that.
Amen.
Because they are with God, and you know what else? There will be a day of great reunion where we will be together with them, with God. But realize this also. People see that within us and they go, "You're different. You're strange."
Amen.
Because, yeah. Yeah, Mammy's saying that because he has to work next door to me all day long. "You're different. You're not the same as everybody else. You're not grieving like everybody else." 1 Thessalonians tells us this, so that we will not grieve as those who have no hope. You know what? We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Yes, we grieve because they're not with us anymore here on this earth, but we rejoice in knowing that they have a place with God in heaven. And we rejoice in knowing that we too will be with them in heaven. This is knowing. And so my actions are different. We're not the same as everybody else because we have hope. And don't think you can have this hope anywhere else other than from God. We hear these politicians say, "I give you hope of this new thing we're going to do, and we're going to change this thing, and we're going to make everything better." And no, they're not. No, they're not. It's not going to happen, folks. But what is going to happen is this. That when I pass from this life, I'm going to be with God for an eternity.
Amen.
Folks, that's the hope. That's the joy. That's the faith. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says this, "In everything therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you." What's that called? The golden rule, isn't it? Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Folks, here it is. If you have faith, you treat other people different. You treat other people with a smile on your face. I went to a deal just the other day. I don't even remember where I was. It wasn't Walmart. I went somewhere the other day. I can't remember where it was. But I had to wait a while. It's all right. I really didn't have anywhere I was in a hurry to go to. It wasn't any big deal. I was just kind of sitting there, just kind of like what I'm doing right now, kind of leaning on the counter and just kind of sitting there and just, yeah, it's all right. And the little waitress came up to me and she said, "I am so sorry you had to wait so long." And I just smiled and said, "It's not a problem at all. I enjoyed being here." Do you think everybody would have said that to that waitress? Do you think everybody would have responded the same way? Folks, the fact that we treat people differently shows great faith in and among ourselves. Treat people good. Treat them the way that you yourself would like to be treated. If there's a problem, and usually I have this problem when I go through drive-thrus. I'm going to tell you this. I don't like cheese on my bacon and egg biscuits. Yeah, or my hamburgers, Kathy says. I don't like cheese on my bacon and egg biscuits at McDonald's. I like going through McDonald's. You can't have a physique like mine and not like McDonald's. So I like going through McDonald's. And usually I'm in a hurry when I go through McDonald's. But I have learned with McDonald's, because they do so many bacon and egg and cheese biscuits, that they have a bad tendency that even though I will order it, I will say, I want a bacon and egg biscuit with no cheese. And I say it just like that. I have learned that the majority of the time when I go through McDonald's, I get a bacon and egg and cheese biscuit. Because they just get used to it. And I understand what's going on. They just get used to slapping it on me and they just keep going. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's probably nothing that irritates me more than that. Because I won't eat it. And so what I have to do is I have to take it back. And I've had people say, well, just scrape it off. You can't scrape that cheese off. It melts into everything. And so you have to take it back. And so you go back, and I always park, and I get out, and I go up to the counter, and they look at me like, what's wrong? And I say, well, you put cheese on it. I didn't want cheese on it. Oh, I'm sorry, you know. There's two ways I can handle that. And like I said, there's really nothing that irritates me more. And I have to struggle to handle it right. But you got to handle it right.
Amen.
Because you got to treat people right. They didn't do that on purpose. Treat people right. The last thing I've got up there is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Because this is important for all of us. We must walk by faith. As you read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us very plainly that without faith it is impossible to please God. So therefore, this day, you must walk in faith. And if I walk in faith, knowing I have a place with God, knowing that I will be in His kingdom, which will never fail, knowing that those who have gone on before me, I will see them again in the presence of the Lord, knowing that I will hear from Jesus Christ, well done, my good and faithful servant, knowing those things, regardless if they put cheese on my biscuit, I can look at all things with joy because I walk by faith. Folks, on this day, if you do not walk in faith, you need to start. And this is a growing process. It doesn't start immediately. It progresses. It gets more. You must grow in your faith. But realize how it all begins with belief and baptism. That's where your faith starts.
Amen.
If you have not yet been baptized, you need to be baptized this day, right now, while together we stand and sing.